Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to God.
Jesus said to his disciples, "None of those who cry out, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of God, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Anyone who hears my words and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on rock. When the rainy season set in, the torrents came and the winds blew and buffeted his house. It did not collapse. It had been solidly set on rock. Anyone who hears my words but does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on sandy ground. The rains fell, the torrents came, the winds blew and lashed against his house. It collapsed under all this and was completely ruined." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to God, Jesus Christ.
Each time when I come across this particular passage in Matthew's Gospel, I am reminded of an encounter that took place many years ago. I'd been in my third year in the seminary, I think, and one of the holidays I'd come home. And there was this young man, of course he did not know that I was Christian, who came to my house. And he wanted to talk about Jesus Christ. And I remember very clearly, one particular passage that he had quoted me, and it was from Romans chapter 10 verse 9. It was about, unless you confess that Jesus is Lord, or when you confess that Jesus is Lord, you are saved. And I countered him by simply quoting this particular passage saying, "Not everyone who says Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven." But the passage today has nothing to do with who is going to be saved. The context in which this particular passage is found, it's in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. It is between Matthew chapters 5 and 7, where Jesus is giving a very intense teaching about what it means to be a disciple. It is here he talks about the Beatitudes. It is in this context he talks about being the light and the salt of the earth. It is here that Jesus teaches his disciples about purity. It is here that he tells them, unless your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. He talks about honesty in the context that, if you mean yes, say yes. If you mean no, say no. Don't make any oath. He talks about generosity. If your friend asks you to take 1,000 steps, take 2,000. He talks about almsgiving. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. He talks about the Our Father, how to pray. He talks about depending on God. You cannot serve two masters. He talks about do not judge. Don't look at the splinter in your brother's eye. Look at the log in your own eye. And finally, it comes to a kind of a conclusion where Jesus tells his disciples on this mount, a good tree is known by its fruit. So the context in which Jesus is talking about not everyone who says Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom is far from what we think it is. It is about the challenge of being a disciple of Jesus. And chapter 7 concludes in these words, the teaching of Jesus made an impression on the people. And it is here that we are reminded the challenge of being a disciple of Jesus. It is a season when we are reminded so much of the incarnation of Jesus. But the incarnation of Jesus cannot be seen completely void of the Paschal mystery of the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. The discipleship also includes the Paschal mystery of Christ. I remember many years ago reading this book, I'm sure some of you have read, The Cost of Discipleship by Bonhoeffer. And here, he simply says that the will of God, to which the law gives expression, is that men should defeat their enemies by loving them. These past days, we have been talking about the persecution, if I may use that word, that we are experiencing. And the discipleship that Jesus talks about is a discipleship of love. And not just an ordinary love. The discipleship of love that Jesus talks about is a love that is life-giving. The season of Advent is about Jesus coming into our world, taking flesh to show what love means. And it was not any ordinary love. It is a love that is life-giving. Because for me, in the Gospels, every encounter of Jesus with the many people that he met, it was life-giving. Whether it was Zacchaeus, whether it was Mary Magdalene, whether it was Bartimaeus or Lazarus, it was life-giving encounters. Well, we may not be able to raise the dead, but I don't know about you, at least I can't. But we can be life-giving to one another in our encounters with every person. And I think that is what, for me, looking at the conclusion of today's gospel passage, is to build on that solid ground, the rock of Jesus Christ. And that rock is founded on the love of God. So as we depart from this place after this encounter that we have had, not just amongst us, but with one another, may our love for one another be life-giving. And as we return home to our own ministries, our own parishes, may we be life-giving to our people. The life that we receive from this Eucharist may inspire us to be life-givers, because Christ has come to give us His life and His love.